And we are back with Spot Dodge, a Nintendo podcast, where every single week we react to the latest Nintendo news and talk about the games we are playing. With me here today is John Frisha, Greg Vargas, and Brett Larson, all three of them ready to go, ready to talk about Nintendo. Today we have a decent amount of news. We're going to hop on into it nice and quick, not wasting any time this week. Tencent has announced its plans to acquire Techland, the developer of the Dying Light franchise. Right off the bat, I got to go straight to Brett Larson, the Dying Light number one fan. What are you thinking?
Dying Light enthusiasts.
There we go.
What it all comes down to is this. Is it going to make the game better, worse, stay the same? And with the backing of a whole bunch of money, I mean, it potentially could take something that in my opinion, that's very good and turn it into something even better. So, hey, maybe it ends up being a really good thing for Techland.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Tencent's the biggest gaming company in the world. Is that, am I remembering that correctly? I feel like John would know.
Maybe from like how much they're worth standpoint.
Yeah, I
guess if you
it's
include,
hard to discuss because I mean, yeah, if you factor in Microsoft, yeah, then Microsoft, all of a sudden, yeah,
but they're much bigger than Xbox's vertical of Microsoft.
yeah, like I think in China the two biggest are Tencent and NetEase, and Tencent would almost definitely be larger.
Yeah, I always get emails from both of them.
They own like 5% here, 20% here of this company. You know, like, but that's always like their. I think Techland was one of them that they own like a small portion that we were looking at previously on the podcast, and now shit, they've just bought them up.
But like,
that's their entry point, though. Yeah, I think just to like slowly take over the company.
Now, this might sound terrible, but there have been so many things go on in the industry that are like terrible that I can't remember. Like, what's the deal with Tencent? Is it just that they're a Chinese owned like entity, and like that's why people don't want them to keep growing and growing, because they're gonna end up owning the whole like industry?
To an extent, yeah, I think that's genuinely it.
That's mainly it.
Like I mean, to be fair, like probably all these companies behind the scenes are probably horrible monsters. Like, not, I'm not saying China specifically, I'm saying like all of them, probably all of them.
Most
but
likely.
like for Tencent in particular, like I don't recall any like particular horror stories behind the scenes. Like,
I know Riot, they own Riot, right? So like there's been stuff going there, but
yeah, I think it's more so the mix of Western politics and ideologies with.
Yeah, like they're controlling our art forms, and they have way more stipulations on what's allowed in art. So it's affecting what ends up coming to America because of how strict they are with their policies and whatnot.
So I
understand.
And the thing is, like, it's not like the Chinese companies are all like, yeah, we love limitations. We love not being able to do things. Like, they're frustrated by, like, having to navigate the Chinese government as well.
Yeah. And I think that's what it comes down to. It's not that, like, you're going, something that comes out of China is bad. It's that so much of the government is directly involved with Tencent.
Creation process.
That's the part that sucks, yeah.
Mm, yeah.
Yeah, because I've always heard, like, the stories of Chinese funded movies basically having rules that they have to follow, because you can't do this, you can't say that, so it's like affecting the art overall, which is something I'm not okay with. But I mean, what are you gonna do?
And especially like when it comes to trivial topics that, you know, that are, you know, gender, sex, like those types of things that they have oversight over, and if they're limiting that within their own population, then I think that starts to affect, you know, what representation is in video games in general. I think that's the big worry.
Yeah.
And also the monopoly, like Tencent buys up this company, buys up that company, no one bats an eye, but Microsoft, you know, runs this big acquisition on Activision and everybody's panicking. But meanwhile, Tencent is like, hey, I'm gonna buy this company and a little bit of this one and own everything that you consume and make billions of dollars.
They randomly own System Shock 3, a game that may or may not ever be made.
Yeah.
Wow, that's like, so random.
Yeah.
So they don't own the remake that just came out?
No, the Night Dive has that. But like there was some weird deal worked out years ago where, like, bottom line, like the company that was making it was Warren Spector company who made like the original System Shock, but then like basically they ran out of money and they kind of sucked, so they sort of washed their hands of the whole thing and sold it off to Tencent, and they took it over. And since then, like, we have no idea if Tencent is still working on it, if they have anyone doing anything with it. But I think I read that, like, their agreement stipulates that, like, if they made System Shock 3, like, I think they'd be eligible to continue with a 4.
Wow.
So it's okay. Just a big, weird situation.
Yeah, so I looked, I was looking a little bit up. I was looking into it a little bit more as well, because that is a good point, right? Like, we all like, have this, like, understanding that Tencent sucks, but, like, I'm not sure that anyone, like, fully knows why they suck. Would they just do, other than the fact that they're so directly involved with, like, the Chinese government, and there's certain, like, leaders in the Chinese government that just suck overall. But apparently, in, like, 2022, there was a bunch of employees that got in trouble for, like, bribery and embezzlement, and, like, so it just seems like
just like the Sonic the Hedgehog American way.
Like, anything less than, like, physical assault is kind of like, it's all right. Like,
yeah. Anyway, my biggest concern, because there's definitely awful people at every single company, or people that don't have views that align with mine, which I'm completely okay with, because that's just going to happen in this world of video games and entertainment in general. My main thing is that I don't want them to affect the creation of the games.
I don't think they change a single thing. I think, if anything, like, they just don't let the game come out in China, because they already regulate what people in the country can see, do. I mean, their own internet, they can't even search certain, they have certain parameters on what they can see on, like, TikTok and what their feed
shows.
But
here's the
like
thing.
That.
It's not that they're changing it. It's that these developers know that they're being put under a microscope now, so they're not even going to implement it into the game in the first place, because they know that they're already being watched by the Chinese government that is funding their game. So they're going to work around that. Like, you can't tell me they're not going to work around that.
I think, if anything, they're like, here's a bunch of money. Give us a double return of that, and we'll keep doing business. I think,
by the way, this podcast brought to you by Fox News.
I think the Chinese government
is coming in.
It's the same kind of thing as, like, the Saudi government's been buying a lot of stuff lately in the industry as well. Which,
yeah, and that's also a mess. Like,
if their headquarters were based in China, or if their headquarters were based in Saudi Arabia, we're definitely having a much different conversation. But I think they're going to be pretty hands off with stuff. I just don't like knowing that my money is going back to some of these dirtbags that work for those companies. That's my main takeaway from it. But you could be right. I don't know.
Do we really want them owning our favorite video game IPs?
Right.
Like, I don't know.
That goes back to like what I first said. Like, what my knee-jerk reaction was, well, shit, I don't want them owning Dying Light, a game which is, like, one of my most beloved,
famously a Chinese
franchise,
heavily,
right.
Drenched in,
heavily drenched in Chinese lore.
Well, they definitely won't be going to China anytime soon in that series.
There is a reason why you rarely see Chinese developers, other than, like, who made the Genshin Impact. They're Chinese, right?
Well, I mean, yeah. Video games in general were legalized more recently, right?
It's important to clarify real quick that a lot of the information we get about, like, Chinese anything, like, a lot of that news is filtered through, like, a few sources and then misinterpreted. So even the things that we're really sure about, we're probably wrong about.
Yeah, I was going to say that earlier.
I'm just going to say, in general, this whole topic is way over my head, and I shouldn't even be discussing it, but here we are. But I will say, for 15 years, from the year 2000 to 2015, video games were illegal in China. So it was like, it's like a recent thing that's why all these Chinese game developers are finally starting to come up, because it's finally legal there. Like, it was illegal.
You know, that reminds me, I forgot. There was, like, a big, like, homebrew scene there for, like, I think the NES, because, like, they just had, like, these really old consoles because they weren't getting the new stuff. So people just keep programming games in China for that really old hardware. And that's how we ended up with, like, a bootleg Chinese Final Fantasy VII on the NES.
Oh, wow.
That's insane.
Yeah. Good times. But real quick, before we move on, because I know we got to move on, I did want to mention, like, all of a sudden, there's, like, a lot of Chinese devs. Like, I mean, mostly indie teams, but there's a lot.
It's illegal.
Like, I'm pretty sure the team that made Eastward is China. Yeah, that's Pixbull, I think, is their name. And yeah. then there's like all these Chinese devs that all of a sudden are making these insanely beautiful games, mostly in Unreal Engine, whatever.
Black Myth Wukong looks awesome.
That and like five other games that look exactly like it, but have different names.
I know. I forgot their names right now. There's literally like three or four of them. Yeah. There's a lot.
But yeah. Anyway.
Is that game Stellar Blade Chinese? Sorry.
Yes, I think so.
Yeah, so they finally got some big
games. Sorry, I was thinking of a different game. Stellar Blade's a Korean game.
Oh, okay.
But the game I was thinking of is something Zero.
Chinese, right?
There's like some sword combat game with something Zero.
Hey, well, maybe like all this like exposure to new game development, the Western market, partners in the US.
Phantom Blade Zero.
You know, maybe that'll change some of the policies or... you know, have these companies adapt, even if the, you know, the government is restrictive of it, maybe, you know, this at least exposes them to, you know, what it's really like to game dev in the US and, or any other westernized country. And maybe that changes. And, you know, this is all just, you know, fear of the unknown, but I'll give them the benefit of the doubt. But I don't think, like I said before, I think the changes are going to be minuscule where we don't notice all too much, unless, you know, we see some report that it's, you know, blatant.
Yeah. Next up on our news docket, Skull Island Rise of Kong was announced, and it's actually coming to Switch. We were given a trailer, but it was kind of not much. It was just like logos, and then there's a little bit of gameplay in it. It's only a minute long, but it looks pretty good. I mean, it looks like a very low-budget action game, but...
Yeah, no. The publisher is Game Mill Entertainment, I'm pretty sure.
Is that... it a mobile dev?
Game Mill. Is Their that... name's Game Mill.
I'm hoping that's not the same people that did Golem.
They did mobile games for a long time.
Okay, like, I know... Well, I know that in recent years, Game Mill, like, they just do tons of licensed games, all of, like... okay quality, and like that's their shtick, that's just what they do. I'm double checking quick, but I think they made the Cobra Kai games, and the first Cobra Kai video game I maintain is like a super underrated, like really fun side scrolling beat 'em up in the old school style, and then they made a sequel that's 3D garbage and it was a complete waste of money.
That's kind of what this looks like. this Skull Island game. It looks like it was designed to run on a PS2.
I mean, it's got nostalgia vibes because I've been playing some Hulk Ultimate Destruction lately, and I'll get back to that. It has vibes of like a GameCube licensed action game, and I honestly think that's what they're going for. They're not trying to blow people's minds with graphics or anything. They're just trying to make a nice, fun little action games, probably like 8 hours long, and I think that's fine. You know, we need more games like this. Maybe if it's actually fun. Like if it's not fun, then why bother? as Reggie would say. But yeah, I don't know. I think it looks all right. I wonder how it'll run on Switch, though. I guess we'll see.
Probably just bad.
Yeah. I mean, again, none of these games are that demanding. Like this is the sort of stuff they pump out. So. If anything runs on Switch, it should be this.
Right. I can't imagine Switch would have a hard time with this one.
Yeah. Next up, Special Nick over at Xbox Era recently said that Altered Beast and Gunstar Heroes, both franchises, will be making a comeback. From my understanding, Special Nick has been sort of hit or miss in the past. So, I mean, take it with a grain of salt as usual. But I don't really have an affinity for either one of these franchises, although I recently played Gunstar Heroes and realized that it was actually a lot of fun.
It's a masterpiece.
Yeah.
and then I just today, which is weird, before I even saw this news, I saw that there was one that came out on GBA, right?
Yeah.
That looked really fun too. So I might have to check that out.
It's pretty good. Yeah, it's pretty good.
So John, you seem like you're fairly interested in one of these. Any thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, like, if they want to try and bring back Gunstar Heroes, you know, I'm here for it. The Game Boy Advance game, honestly, my memory is, like, really fuzzy on it now, but it's good. The Sega Genesis one, like, as I just said 30 seconds ago, is a masterpiece. It was a side-scrolling co-op action game where the action never stops, and there's like a new boss fight like every few minutes, and it's just like all these different power-ups and so much replay value. It was just fantastic. So like, yeah, something that good, it's kind of weird that they haven't tried milking it more by now. Meanwhile, yeah. With Altered Beast, like,
I don't know anyone who loves this franchise. Yeah.
Like, Altered Beast was like, it used to be like a Genesis pack-in game, like, I think prior to Sonic, and it's like, you know, it was okay. Like, it was kind of a graphic showcase a bazillion years ago, but like, if the gameplay was just sort of whatever, and I think even Sega felt that way. So
yeah,
if wasn't they bring the whole... that back, oh, go ahead.
I was gonna say, like, wasn't the whole thing that like the enemy would randomly change in Altered Beast?
Well, I think you could transform into different beasts and stuff.
Oh, okay.
Rise from your grave. So,
like, if you wanted to do like a 3D sequel remake, whatever on that, like, okay, fine, whatever. Like, it just seems like you'd just be like slapping the name on something, but that's fine. Sometimes that has good results. Like,
yeah,
but yeah. And also, real quick, that special Nick dude, he's the same guy who said the Skies of Arcadia remaster is coming. And he claimed that he'd like actually seen that game. So, doesn't say he's seen these, I guess. But yeah, I guess the guy has some Sega knowledge.
Yeah, must. Hmm. All right, well then, I don't think Greg or Brett care about that, but they have to care about this next thing, which is the developer of the Panzer Dragoon
remake. I don't have to.
And the House of Dead remake. Apparently they have another remake in the works that they are teasing right now.
So many and remakes.
Jesus. I gotta be honest, the Panzer Dragoon remake always caught my eye, and then I saw it for on sale for like $2 and I bought it, but I haven't played it yet. And House of the Dead, it's like weirdly expensive for how short it is, so I haven't bought that. But I actually really want to play both of these games, and I'm interested in what they're remaking next, because they are actually putting some work into these remakes. These aren't just like simple up-res jobs or anything. Like, they are going in and like remaking all the assets and everything. So I appreciate it. It's pretty solid. Does anyone care what's next?
I care. Like, I have interest in a lot of their remakes, but I haven't played any of them yet. And also, it's worth noting that like all of their remakes review poorly. Like fives and sixes, like it's
but I honestly don't think it's because the original games just don't age and well in terms of gameplay. I don't think it's like the quality of the remakes that are the problem. I just think the games that they're remaking in terms of nowadays aren't that good in terms of, you know, the actual gameplay. What I just said before.
And well, I mean, in that case, you could argue that they should have kept remaking parts of it, but I don't know. But the one game of theirs that I do genuinely intend to play at some point is their Front Mission remake. And they're currently working on a Front Mission 2 remake, and I think they announced a Front Mission 3 remake in the last few months. Yeah, so it's got to be something worth doing in there.
Yeah. I like when there's these companies that are just going in and like, bringing forward older games and just like making them a little easier to play in terms of, you know, the visuals and how they feel and all that stuff. It's what I wish Blue Point was still doing, but apparently they're working on an original game, which kind of makes me sad.
I think that I like the idea of that though. I think they're talented. I'd like to see what they can do.
Yeah.
Real quick before you go to your next thing, and not to go backwards, I did just want to say though, regarding the Techland thing, apparently CEO Powell Marchuka said that this deal will allow them to move full speed ahead with the execution of the vision of our games, and they will maintain full ownership of their IPs and maintain creative freedom. So this should not affect anything, hopefully.
Yeah, just, I mean,
in terms of like a censorship or freedom standpoint, understand?
All I'm saying is there's always going to be that little angel on the shoulder that they're going to have and whispering in their ear, Chinese government. That's what they're going to be hearing.
They're going to send assassins. Don't do that. Don't you do it.
Don't put that in the game. You can't do that. Chinese government. Okay, let's move on. Next up, Ubisoft apparently canceled Immortals Fenyx Rising 2, which I know would make a lot of people pretty sad, because a lot of people that I know liked this game quite a bit.
Yeah.
And it was like one of their different visual styled games, and it seemed like it was fairly popular. I guess it just didn't hit those numbers they were expecting, or maybe the sequel just wasn't coming together very well, but I don't know. It's canceled apparently. And this, wait, where's this come from exactly? It's just like,
so VGC reported it, and okay. Then like there was a pile on of insider gaming, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah. So yeah, Ubisoft, more bad news coming out of there because they cannot manage anything, it seems, unless it's Assassin's Creed and Far Cry.
Once Sony purchases Ubisoft, all will be good. They'll straighten everything out.
Honestly, I'd be open for that because they need help. They honestly do.
No, this is, in all honesty, we got our time, our countdown here pretty soon. So I don't know if we want to just do that now or wait.
Yeah, we can do it now.
All right. Oh, yeah. So with Immortals Fenyx, it's unfortunate this is happening because someone who enjoys most of Ubisoft stuff, like I'm kind of like an apologist of Ubisoft because they get a lot of flack, deservedly so. But every once in a while, there's like, I mean, we obviously know like the Ubisoft mold. We know their type of game. We know their style of game. And they all kind of, to a certain degree, feel samey. But every once in a while, you'll get a game that comes from them that feels just different than other ones. One of them was Child of Light that I just adored. And then this felt like one of those two that was just way off the beaten path from their normal stuff. And yes, I know it's like it's a Breath of the Wild clone. It's a total ripoff of it, understandably so. Like they're riding the coattails of Zelda with this. However, I don't know if I think, John, you played it, right?
Yeah, I liked it a lot.
Immortals. Yeah, it was great. Like it was a solid game, even though I think the intentions of it was to try and build off of the momentum of Breath of the Wild. I mean,
it's 100% a Breath of the Wild clone.
It absolutely is. I mean, it did its own things in its own ways, but it definitely was like a Breath of the Wild clone.
Yeah.
But man, it sucks that it's not going to get another one because it felt like something that they could have really like with almost every series, like the second entry in the series really gives you an indication on if they're really going to make progress and take it to like to the next level or if it's just going to kind of die off. So we never even got a chance to find out if it was really going to take that next step and be something special. But the first game I liked a lot. So this sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're finally thinking outside the box a little more and now it's gone.
Yeah, this was like, as I've said, I think this is like the only Ubisoft video game I'd played since Child of Light on Wii U, which would have been like around a decade ago now, probably. I don't know. Or like at least 8 years ago. Yeah, it was a really good game.
Oh my God, I love that game.
So if they've canceled this, then Star Wars Outlaws is like the singular Ubisoft game I have any interest in.
What do you mean? You're not excited about Avatar, the Lost Pandora, whatever it's called? The last? I don't even know.
Avatar, the Far Cry Pandora?
Yeah.
Not excited about the 17 Assassin's Creed titles in the next 4 years that are coming
literally.
Out?
Literally. That's not even that much of an exaggeration. That's what's
funny. I think I read today that there's six of those games in development like right now.
Oh my God. At least six.
That's insane.
That is literally insane.
I hope they don't burn that series out again. Because, I mean, that's kind of why they went back to the drawing board
manage
and did the new formula.
Six games at once. Like
one IP.
I mean, Call of Duty does it.
It kind of reminds me of what Sony is doing with Horizon. Because they had the VR game in development. They have the live service game, Horizon 3. Horizon the TV show and Horizon
an MMO or something. There's like an MMO or
the service Horizon game,
something like that.
So freaking.
And there
weird.
Was one
like,
more,
what?
I think. I can't remember.
You said the VR game, right?
Yeah, it was like five games or something plus the TV
there's
show.
Like, there's
they're
like,
allegedly
yes,
remaking
several.
The first one.
Yeah, that's what
yeah,
it was.
The remake. Yeah.
Okay,
it's
so yeah.
So ludicrous.
They're just beating it to a bloody pulp to the point, or even people that love Horizon are gonna be like, just stop, please. Let it breathe. There is absolutely too much of a good thing. Let things breathe.
Yeah.
I think that's like the same with movies right now. You know, one of the reasons why Barbie and Oppenheimer have done so well at the box office, I've seen argued, is because of, you know, their original quotations, movie ideas, and not some something from Marvel or something from DC, another superhero movie, another Transformers movie, you know, it's something like... original, which sucks for games like, you know, Phoenix, what is it, Phoenix Rising?
Yeah.
Immortals Phoenix Rising.
Yeah, because
which was always a bad name.
Oh, AKA Gods and Monsters.
Yeah, Gods and Monsters, that was a much better name.
Oh, well. Which kind of sucks too, because I'm sure they had, you know, ambitions that they wanted to put in the first game and they couldn't, and probably had the opportunity in the second and now there's none. But also, I mean, how do you ride the coattails of Breath of the Wild then try to match Tears of the Kingdom if it, you know, you're similar?
They canceled it because Tears of the Kingdom was so good. They're like, fuck it, we're done.
Well, fuck.
See, we had to send. I almost view that the opposite way, like, because it was a Breath of the Wild clone and it kind of had success being known as that, and Tears of the Kingdom just took the world by storm. You think like a sequel to Immortals would be a no-brainer, right? If it truly was like a clone of Breath of the Wild, like that would almost be a no-brainer, that they're, because they're trying to like get in on this type of game while people are talking about it and excited about it. But I don't know, that's weird.
Yeah.
But anyway, the last part of the news we have today is Capcom is apparently revealing a major title later this year. This comes from Dusk Golem, I believe. Yeah.
The horror dude.
Yeah, he's gotten some Resident Evil stuff right in the past and some not. But, I mean, he says Resident Evil 9 is going to be releasing next year. Sounds a little soon, but...
Yeah, I don't know if I believe that.
If we're looking at the same thing, he said Resident Evil 9 in 2025.
Oh, my bad. Okay. Yeah. Okay, the announcement this year, releasing 2025. Okay, yeah, then that sounds more right. My bad.
Because if you're basing it off of a schedule from 7, 8, 9, that would line up.
Yeah.
Because there are different teams working on those than the remake team, I'm sure.
Yeah, probably. Apparently... he said he might know every big Resident Evil game releasing up to the year 2029.
Okay, calm down. Calm down there, buddy.
He was saying for years that like he thought there was some sort of Resident Evil for Switch coming, and that just never happened.
That's why I said he doesn't get everything right, because that really threw me off, because I was really expecting Resident Evil Revelations 3 Nintendo Switch exclusive. That would have been awesome.
Yeah, well.
That's like being in school, sitting next to someone that you want to cheat off their test, and you're like, well, he gets some stuff right, but he also gets some stuff wrong. So it's like, do you really trust it? You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Resident Evil's been so good lately. I'm very excited for whatever they do. I'm curious if Resident Evil 9 will stick with first person or if they'll go back to third person, because with RE8 they ended up bringing in third person mode. Seemed like they've been wanting to go back to that, especially since all the remakes have been in third person.
I feel like that's more reason to stick with first person for a while on the new ones, that the remakes are all doing that.
I say honestly, launch the game with both. It's obviously possible with Resident Evil 8 they did it. It has both versions.
Also, the DLC Shadows of Rose is third person.
Yeah, so... that launched in third person only.
Oh, really?
Right. Yeah, so that makes me think that maybe they are going back that way.
I hope it's third person roguelike procedurally generated.
No.
The whole game takes place inside the mind. Yeah. So it's generating it.
All I know is whatever game they do next, if it's third person, you better be able to see the protagonist's fucking face.
Yeah, it's so weird what they did with Ethan.
When I played 8 again in third person a couple months ago, I tried so hard. I would like do everything I could to like swing the camera and then turn at the right moment. Like, and I couldn't even see past his nose. I'm like, God damn it, just let me see.
It's so stupid. It's like, it's rendered. It's completely there. It's not it's blank. He has a model. Like, you can see it, but it's, you can't. So dumb. Yeah, it's ridiculous. So stupid. But yeah, that's pretty much it for the news. Awesome stuff happening. I just want to say this year still continues to be crazy. Like, looking at the list of games we still have to come out, like, this has got to be one of the best years ever in gaming. Like, it's so good. And there are some games that are like a mystery. Like, some games
Sorry, it's already I was just gonna say it's already like maybe like a top three, top 5 year, and it's only July.
Right.
You know, it's crazy.
Yeah. I mean I'm already falling behind because I had to beat Persona 5 Royal and I haven't even started Final Fantasy 16. I have a feeling I'm end up getting a code for Starfield fairly early. I could be wrong, but if I do, then it's like, do I continue Final Fantasy or do I just start Starfield? And then that ruins my whole...
You're not playing Final Fantasy. If you get that code, you're dropping Final Fantasy so quick.
Maybe. It depends on how much Final Fantasy has got its hooks into me, to be honest.
Have you played it at all yet? I know you started, you did like, you went to, got to like the boot up screen. I know you got that far.
Like
you
15
minutes. That's it?
15 minutes I played.
Oh yeah, this menu's cool. 15. All right, well, time to wrap it up.
I like the font. I'm a big fan of the font. Not gonna lie.
9 out of 10.
Big fan of the font.
9.5.
All I can say is this regarding Final Fantasy 16: you can pet a dog. 10 out of 10.
Okay. Well, maybe it is worth playing.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
But can you pet a cat?
I don't think so. You know,
okay.
I don't.
Where Tears of the Kingdom doesn't, Final Fantasy does.
Yep.
It's been a big year. It's been like, at least like games that I've played recently, there's been a lot of games with like animal companions lately. Mm-hmm. I've noticed like Tears of the Kingdom, Jedi Survivor, which is the robot,
Persona 5,
but that's an old game. But Final Fantasy, Planet of Lana had the companion in it. Like, it seems like every game lately has like a little companion that follows you around.
Aww. Yeah. Good. And I guess since I brought up Persona, I'm going to do that for me, and then I'll toss it to you guys. Persona 5, guys, I finally beat this damn game. I finally did it. I beat Persona 5, the longest game on the planet. I thought it was going to end 20 hours before it did, multiple times probably. I mean, if I had, the first time I played the game, I knew, like, I didn't know how long it was, but the second time, I thought I had an idea, but still, that last semester still dragged a little bit, like, longer than I think it should have, but... So I played it. I know the full story. It's better than the original, but at the same time, adding it like more length to the game, I feel like does hurt the game. Like the game was already too long to begin with. So just adding a whole new semester, making it even longer, I just feel like it hurt the game. So pardon me, like while this new story stuff was cool, I asked myself, do I tell people to play Royal or do I just tell people to play the original? Because yes, there are some like gameplay enhancements in Royal. The some of the temples they made a bit better with the design and stuff, but I feel like I played through mostly pretty much the exact same game, and I feel like I got tricked into doing it, Atlas. And everyone on the internet saying, "Oh, you got to play Royal. It's amazing." Don't get me wrong, it's amazing, but the original game was amazing as well. So I don't know, maybe just the lead up to the new semester got my hopes up that it was going to be something mind-bendingly amazing, which it was really good. Like, I don't want to say it wasn't. Like, the character that they introduced in the game and who's actually in the whole game now, it's like he's in the whole game, and then the last semester, it all makes sense why he was in the whole game. And then he's probably one of the most deep and interesting characters in any Persona game ever, to be honest. And that's really great. But the game was so goddamn long that I'm like, okay, just get through it. Just get through it. You got to get through it. I just kept telling myself, all right, you got to keep playing this game because you're so close to the end. And so a part of me was just like so ready to be done. And that could be because there are so many great games out right now. That's like, I just felt like the pressure of finishing it.
Like
so it made
Crime
the game.
Boss.
Yeah. Like Crime Boss. So it just made the pressure feel like the game wasn't as good as it was. But all in all, do I regret playing it? Yes. I should not have spent
I didn't think that was gonna be your answer.
All that
100 hours. I should not have spent 100 hours.
All that to say, fuck this.
Playing that game again. I truly and honestly should have just watched the third semester on YouTube. I honestly think that would have been perfectly acceptable. The next Persona game, I am fully committing to this, Atlas. I'm playing the first version. If you release the game again, Persona 3 Rapid Fire Edition, I'm not playing it. I'll play the remake.
Sloppy.
And then I'm
edition.
Not playing the remake of the remake. Persona 6, I'll play the first one. I'm not playing Persona 6, I don't know, Aspirin, whatever it's going to be called. I'm not doing it. So yeah, that's my rant about Persona. Still an amazing game. Everybody should play it. 10 out of 10. But John, what have you been up to?
I've been like playing Final Fantasy 16 literally like once a week, because for some reason that's what I've had time for. I don't understand it myself, but I'm chipping away at it. I'm definitely more than 80% in. I'm about to go to some other continent to go try and fight some dude and kill stuff and break things. And I just really want this game to be over already.
Yeah. Sounds like Persona 5.
He makes it sound so like a slog, like it's like a chore. Well,
you guys are both really selling the games.
Yeah, Greg's just gonna go out and buy him a couple copies of both.
A couple JRPGs on Greg's list.
As I've said in several places on several occasions at this point, like, I think all the action set pieces are really good and they're fun, even if they're getting kind of repetitive. Like, I enjoy them. It's like the rest of the game that like feels like just kind of like whatever to me. Like, all the RPG elements, which theoretically should be really good, are not. They're pretty bad. The side quests, a lot of them feel like a chore, but late in the game they're starting to get better again because they're the culmination of all the stuff that's been building up to them. But like, I don't want to put in hours of work on side quests I didn't care about to get to the one good side quest at the end. And even then, it's not like the gameplay is different. It's just that the story is a little better. So it's like,
yeah,
I'm sure at this point I must have put in over 40 hours because I haven't actually skipped anything yet aside from the monster hunts. Like, I've been doing every side quest as they come up, and every time it feels like this boring grind, and like, I decide how many scenes I'm going to outright skip versus fast forward through, which obviously isn't the ideal way to play. But like, the point is, like it's stuff, but it's not all like equally good stuff. So that's why I'm like really ready for it to end. But
yeah,
again, the set pieces are fun. Like, I'd be lying if I said I'm not having fun with the game. It's just that I'm not having fun with it all the time.
Yeah. The opening sequence, though, the visuals, they were incredible. Like, it looked really cool.
I'm excited for you to see like John was talking about, some of the big bombastic boss fights where it's just like you start in a field and you end up like on the edge of a cliff and then back to like in the middle of the desert. Like, it's in some of these boss fights are just like, they're really, you can tell like you can just see dollar signs, the amount of money they put. They just pumped into some of these sections of the game.
I will say that, like, the Titan boss fight is insane. It's also, like, 10 minutes too long. I can't believe how long that fight is.
It was so long. It was so long to the point where once I was finally done, even though, like, the whole time I was totally, like, in awe, like, this is crazy.
Yeah.
When I was done, I was like, I felt like I just ran a mile. I was like, oh my God. Yeah. I like sat back and like sighed of relief that it was over.
Yeah. But
at the same time, it was like, I was amazed by it. Like, it was so cool. But I was like, okay, fuck me. That was forever.
Yeah.
But one thing that's cool. Sorry, actually, you're not done talking.
No, I was more or less done. Go for it.
Well, right, Brett, you're next up, I guess. You're playing Final Fantasy 16 and you beat it.
I beat a few games since you guys talked to me last.
Three games in 1 week.
Three? Well, I wasn't on last week, so that's kind of cheating. But still, three games since you've talked to me last. That one fight in particular, what was I going to talk about? Gosh, damn it. I just totally lost
it. He lost it. He lost it. Did Oxenfree, was that good? Oxenfree 2, Brett?
I don't know. I'll remember it. Anyways, right, I can't think of what the hell I was going to say. Good thing we're not live right now, huh?
I'm not editing that.
Well, no, that's fine. But that's what I was going to say. A couple of the boss fights, and I thought this was really cool, almost remind me of old school God of War boss fights. Where it's like these really the scope and scale of the
kind
boss
of boss fight
fights so
that
big.
Should have been in the new games, to be honest, but they weren't.
Yeah. I mean, that's fair. I love the new games, but I agree. Like, you didn't have any of those. You're fighting like a what's that big massive guy?
Hades.
not Hades. There's another one. It's like Cyclone or Cyclops. Something.
Yeah, the X-Men.
Was it Cyclops? Maybe it was Cyclops. I don't know. I think it was a big, like, he had one eye, but I don't think his name was Cyclops. Anyways, he was massive, and you're, like, running up his arm and, like, stabbing him on the way up his arm and stuff. And a couple of the boss fights in this reminded me of that, which I thought was really cool. And it's definitely not, like, necessarily Final Fantasy. Like, it's definitely a departure from typical Final Fantasy boss fights, but it was very cool, too. And, cool.
The point of comparison for the boss fights that I've heard, but it's a game I never played, was Ashura's Wrath.
Oh, yeah, I've heard that as well.
I literally just bought that.
Oh, yeah?
So random, but yeah.
Like I've heard that game, like, it'd be, like, these insane, like, super cinematic boss fights, and some of them would be, like, absolutely enormous, but, like, it would also be, like, kind of, like quick turn.
Button mashing.
I mean, quick time button pressing, and, like, mm-hmm. that was the fight. So yeah. It's a little more evolved from there, but
sure. Yeah. I miss QuickTime events in games, man.
Me too. They're great.
You still see them once in a while. Yeah,
but occasionally.
How
can you not like them?
There's fun.
QuickTime events in Final
People
Fantasy
hated
16.
Those for like the whole 10 years that they were prominent.
You know what? That's tomorrow's TikTok. QuickTime events got too much shit. That's how it's going to start.
There's actually QTEs in Final Fantasy 16 in some of the boss fights. Yeah. They're never unfair, but, though.
No,
they're never
no,
like
they're,
you're.
They're extremely choreographed. Like, you'd have to really.
For sure. You'd have to be just like controller on the ground.
Phone. Yeah. Dude. You'd have to be reading your phone to miss it.
That reminds me of the Avengers game. Someone discovered that if you just never pressed it, the game would just freeze. Like, until you pressed it, it would happen.
QuickTime event, all right?
It would just stop.
I kind of like it. They help build up
time event.
Yeah.
They help build up battles. They help, like, give you some sense of pacing where you're at in the battle. And, like, I feel like it just breaks up the monotony of just, like, oh, go over here. Run back. Go over here. Bah, 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 bah. Like, I feel like it gives some flavor to the fight.
Yeah, and, like, not to keep making this comparison, but, like, in the old God of War games, like, when you'd see the prompt for a quick time event, you basically knew that meant you had defeated the boss. So it was, like, a sense of accomplishment in that case. So, yeah, there's times when QTEs can, like, feel satisfying. It's like, oh, shit, okay, I finally got to the point where I can do this, and then I beat him. So, yeah.
Well, like, the issue with QTEs, and it was something that I think I remember from Resident Evil, is that, like, when you put those in a game, then usually when a cinematic's playing, you assume, like, okay, it's cool. You can sit back, relax, and watch the scene. But if it's a QTE game, well, QTE could happen at any given moment. You weren't ready, so you screwed up, and now you've taken damage, etc.
Like, yeah, that's true, yeah.
That's the part that's kind
of... You kind of got to understand the game you're playing, sure.
But
anyways... Final Fantasy 16, I can't say enough good about it. I absolutely adored it. Everything John said is fair. There are moments, it's pacing. If there's anything that it has a weakness, it's pacing. Because it will be like these high-flying moments where you're just like in complete awe. And then 10 minutes later, you're talking to someone about finding... like delivering food to a table in a restaurant. You know, like, how did I just go from fighting something that's like 20 stories to delivering a meal to someone at a table? You know,
now, are those missions that you're talking about, like the meal, is that a side quest or is that like a main thing?
Well,
there are ones that are slow too, like
there's missions where it's like, hey, this person went missing. Go find out what happened to them. And obviously they're murdered. And it doesn't end up playing into the story in any meaningful way. It's just filler before you get to the next plot point. And it's really weird that it's there. Because I've complained before, the Super Nintendo games didn't do that. The Super Nintendo games from over 25 years ago at this point, over 25 years ago, like, they were all meat. They didn't have BS like that.
Dude, that's what I'm saying. This is literally the problem with modern games, is that they literally only add that. I truly think they only add that,
because
that
they
shitty
think...
things, because people will be able to say, it's only 15 hours, it's not worth it. It's
I
only 10 hours. Like,
That's
the only reason. It's to pad the game out. Like, that's what's sad. It sucks, because that's been main complaint I've heard, is the pacing of the game. So you bet your ass I'll be mainlining everything in that entire game. I do not care about the side stuff if it all sucks.
But to be fair, though, at the same time, at least for me, I know John may not feel this way, the the good about the game was so good I was able to forgive like the moments where I was bored to tears. Like I loved the parts that I loved so much I was able to forgive the things that weren't so great. So but I'm kind of like optimistic when it comes to things like that anyways. Like I'm willing to forgive certain things if I like it. So I may not be the best person to ask when it comes to stuff like that. I'm always trying to like find a good or a positive in things. But yeah, so I mean, I loved it. I absolutely adored it. I thought the story was really engaging and I just loved like it had that I hate to keep using this comparison because I feel like it's overdone, but a little bit of Game of Thrones, but mainly because like you're talking about like warring territories and like this, it's a pretty sprawling story from this king in this area over to this corner of the country. And
a lot of that kind of goes away towards the end of the game though.
It does. It does, but also it doesn't ever get too into the weeds either. Like it never gets. Cause I know you're like, we talked about this like a couple weeks ago, how we were worried it was going to go off the rails. It never goes off the rails too much. It does, but like the last 10% of the game, like it's not like it's the last 30-40% of the game when it totally goes away from all that. And when it does kind of go away from all that, it's never like some odd, completely bizarre thing that has nothing to do with the rest of the game. Like you'll see. I mean,
from where I'm at, like it seems like it's in the ballpark. Like I can basically tell where it's going. Well, yeah. I mean,
okay,
it feels pretty obvious where it's going so far. Yeah. It has. I mean, you know the main villain. But...
You know the main villain, so you know like kind of the direction it's going.
Yeah.
So it pretty much embraces that and goes full steam into that. However, I don't feel like it ever like completely goes off the rails into like stupid, you know.
Okay.
But
doesn't go full Kingdom Hearts.
Yeah, see, I never played Kingdom Hearts, so yeah, I can't but I know what you mean. I know the analogy.
Yeah,
but I loved it.
Okay, cool. Real quick, like I think it might have been this morning or something, but like I came up with the perfect way to articulate my feelings on Final Fantasy 16 compared to 15. But if you haven't played 15, it won't mean anything to you. So the way I would describe it as, I would think of Final Fantasy 15 as a disappointment. And I would think of Final Fantasy 16 as a high quality disappointment.
Okay. Once again, Greg's running out to get him a copy. Sold. I
don't know. I missed the conversation. What was going on?
I summarized don't worry about my feelings on Final we Fantasy just spoiled 15 the and 16.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
All right.
So I played like 2 hours of Final Fantasy 15. This really makes me want to go back and play that now just because I'm totally in like the mood for Final Fantasy now, but I keep getting told like maybe don't.
Yeah. I don't think you're gonna like the combat. It's terrible.
You'd have to pay me to go back to that game.
Is it?
And you'd I like have to the
pay
game.
Me like a significant amount.
I really loved the whole road trip thing, like being on the road, seeing
that
all
the environments. Only good part of the game.
I liked that. Like, and then the music was really good. Yeah, that was probably the best part of the game, just driving in the car.
Bros on a trip. Yeah, that's it.
I got to the part where you go to like that car repair shop and you meet the girl with the really big eyebrows.
That's like the very beginning of the game.
Eyebrows.
Yeah, Brett. Know? It would have been funnier if you didn't like re-say it, like say it again. But you had to say it.
I want to make sure you guys caught it. I don't know. All but anyways, right. Before I finish, I also, after that, I beat Oxenfree 2, and then I beat Planet of Lana, which I'm not going to keep talking because I've talked for too long anyways, but I fucking loved that game so much. I literally cried the last 30 minutes of that game. That's how much I loved it.
So
I went from having like, I've had so many good games in a row. Jedi Survivor was my game of the year. Then Tears of the Kingdom, that became my game of the year. Then Final Fantasy 16 could be my game of the year. Then Planet of Lana probably won't be my game of the year, but it's not far off. Like, it's just been awesome. And then I did want to say, too, I downloaded the demo for Viewfinder. Have you guys seen that game?
Yeah.
Yeah. It looks crazy.
It's really cool. It's really cool. So like obviously you know you take like you have like photos and you like hold them up and then you like press R2 and you can walk into that photo and you have to use that to it's like a puzzle to be able to get from one area to the next. But there's one section where you're like holding up different paintings and like one of them would be like a child's drawing and you walk into the child's drawing and then everything in that is like looks like a child drew it and then you'll find within that, you'll find another photo you'll hold up that's like a old like Duke Nukem style graphics, and you walk into that and it's all these like awful looking graphical, like you're that's in wild. Like a dungeon, and then you in the, within that you pick up another thing and it's like Disney like fantasy like animated land, and you go into like that area. It's really cool. It's
does it seem like it's going to be linear, or is it like yeah, you can experiment with like different photo styles or whatever? And that's
I'm pretty sure it's very linear. It's only supposed to be like 3 hours as well.
Oh, but, yeah, but that's cool. It's like more of the experience.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it does start to get like you have to think. Like I got to the point where I was like, this might be a little bit easy. And then I got to the point where I was like, okay, I'm really having to think about how to get from one area to the next. So, but it was a really interesting game. So just wanted to shout that out.
I think you're muted, Brett.
My bad. He's
muted.
Greg, we have 8 minutes left to talk about what we what we were
Apex playing. Legends.
Yeah.
Apex Legends, baby. I'm actually almost the highest rank I've ever been in the game right now, which is pretty crazy. I played the entire season for this event. Getting back into champion level in Rocket League after being a diamond for a long time. Playing a little bit of Street Fighter 6 as well in the competitive ranks online. Pretty decent win record, but not doing anything really spectacular there. But the couple other games that I've started to dip my toes into, Miles Morales on PC at a brilliant, immaculate 165 FPS, way more FPS than anybody needs, but it looks great. It performs great. The only thing that I don't like about the game that, you know, just about the Spider-Man series in general is
don't
like,
you say a bad word about the Spider-Man series, Greg.
Oh, I'm not, sorry, I'm not allowed to critique it.
Don't do it. No,
depends on
not
if it's about race.
7 minutes yeah. left.
I just don't like the like going fast all the time and like agility all the time.
Racist.
Like sometimes I just want to walk slow and like jump to a small ledge, and instead you're like make these like big dramatic leaps when I'm just trying to get from like one little small ledge to the next little area.
Totally. That's right.
And the way he like runs like to everything, yeah. like Spider-Man, like in that little weird crouched like Marvel versus Capcom look. Damn. Like I don't like that, but the rest of the world, I love the characters, I love the dialogue, the whole scene with Miles Morales and his mom in the apartment when they're having Christmas was like just kind of like I had played so many other competitive games that it was a nice break to just experience that and like see some story, some dialogue, some characters interact with one another, like just the whole thing. And then, you know, the first like portion of the game where you're starting to get familiar with everything, like the areas to go to, the power-ups, the, you know, his uncle and all that stuff. I just think it's really interesting, and it's, you know, I'm surprised that I don't have Spider-Man fatigue from the films and stuff, but it's also gearing me up for, you know, the next Spider-Man game that I'll probably play in like 3 years. But I am enjoying it. I'm playing it on max
on
settings
Steam Deck.
With ray tracing, and it's a beautiful game, and it performs really well when I'm streaming, which just speaks to its you know, optimization, both CPU and GPU wise. And then outside of that, I randomly picked up this game because I saw it on Target for the deluxe edition, The Night Witch. It's like kind of a bullet hell.
Heard of that?
Yeah, it's like a bullet hell Metroidvania slash like deck building game, and it's really different. The animation, I like it, and I don't at times. I think that some of the environments and scenes are really beautiful. But God, man, it probably takes like no joke, like 2 to 3 solid minutes to load. And I'm like, this is, I was surprised at first because when I was first booting it up, I was like, okay, yeah. It's, you know, the first boot of the game, maybe it's installing or something. But like when you exit the game and go back in, the load times for it are just like outrageous. But that's crazy. I'm having a good time with the story. You know, it's kind of like a G to PG rated movie. Like if I could describe it in any way, the combat's pretty decent, but like what you do is like you kill enemies to build up you know, your magical your magic bar, and then each card that you get during the game does different things, and it shuffles those cards, and each of the cards cost, you know, maybe two points out of your four points of magic that you built up. And so they all do different things. They can give yourself like a machine gun or lay mines and stuff. And some of the puzzles and enemies you kill are based on the different cards that you have equipped in the area. And the difficulty does ramp up pretty quickly, especially because you're very underpowered in the beginning. But I'm liking it for the same reason, you know, that I enjoyed Tears of the Kingdom, is like, I can play 2 to 3 hours, 1 to 2 hours at a time, and kind of get my fix. Or like, it's a perfect like bedtime game that I can lay back and like, oh, I'm going to crank this section out, I'm going to beat this boss. And most of the time I do, and I'm like, okay, cool, I can pick this up tomorrow right where I left off. So I'm really interested to see how the whole thing pans out, especially the rate of fire for your gun that you're given initially is pretty slow. But you start to unlock, you know, marginal increases in power, firepower, speed of fire as the game progresses, which I do and don't like, but, you know, I'm still, again, I'm seeing where it goes. And yeah, has a cool deck that came with it too. Some nice cards and a soundtrack.
Sweet. Nice. Ooh. I am playing Hulk Ultimate Destruction for the Nintendo GameCube, and I'm probably like 3/4 of the game now. I'm like deep inside of Hulk right now, and it's really fun. It's really, really, really fun. I wish that they still made games like this, to be honest. Like, that's why I was saying that, like, that Kong game kind of reminds me of this, because it's just like a simple action game, but it also has some like sort of deep gameplay mechanics to it. And the traversal of this game, while it's no Spider-Man or anything, being able to be Hulk and like jump across the city is badass. Like, it makes me wish we could get a Hulk game like that nowadays.
You mentioned if we had that modern graphics, that
game, like dude, I
say
really
all
think
the time I want a Superman game like that.
Yeah, like
Superman or Hulk. Yeah, I
would like love you can either of those. Run up the buildings like sideways, like wall run buildings. You can jump super far off of them. You can like get on top of a massive building and like jump to another building. And it's actually like, I didn't expect the traversal to actually be as fun as it is, because I also recently downloaded Ultimate Spider-Man, which I'm probably gonna play after Hulk. It's like sort of the same era, like superhero style game. And like, I remember Spider-Man's traversal being fun, but like, this game's actually pretty awesome. And the combat, like I'm saying, like, there's way more to it than I ever really thought, because I never beat this game before. I played it as a kid, but I didn't own it. So I'm glad I'm finally like experiencing like the full game now. And the pacing sometimes can get a little repetitive, but then every once in a while, there's like a fun mission where like the only goal is to go into a city, grab something and run it all the way across to the other side of the city. So there's just helicopters like firing at you. There's a bunch of people in the streets. And what's cool about the city is that like the people react. So like, if you're Hulk, you're a giant monster. If you're just running down the street, you'll just hear, "Oh my God, run!" Like, you'll actually hear the people like screaming, like, "What the hell is that?" They're just like scared. And and the cars will actually react too. Like, if you're like just like walking down the street and a car comes around the corner, it'll just stop and immediately turn around and go the other way. It's like, what the hell is that?
Who developed it?
Was it the prototype people? I can't remember. Well, we're running out of time right now, so either way, it's a lot of fun. And this has been Spot Dodge, a Nintendo podcast. If you made it this far, please leave us a review on podcast platforms. It would really mean a lot. And yeah, that's pretty much it. Thank you, everyone, and we will talk to you guys next time. Goodbye.
Bye-bye. Thanks, Eric.
And you were right, prototype people.
Oh, I was actually, it's still recording, so I'm gonna say,
oh,
that
it's the prototype thing. The okay,
he was wrong.
It was the prototype,
right?
Of prototype.
Can't hang out with the Human Torch. It's not right. A good game.
The call is literally going to end in about 15 seconds, just so you guys
say
know.
Whatever
so
you want.
Free it reign. Was fun to hang out with you all.